Voice and worship him. Shakala barada, shakoko la bada galala, lehu seto parada galala.
I want to stay
Father, we give you the praise and the honor for this morning. We appreciate you. Thank you because it is in you that we live and move and have our being. We ask, Lord, that not one person will leave here the same way they have come. Lift your hands in the worship of God and just ask him to touch you today. Ask him to do something new in your life. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him to give you a change of story. Ask him to do what only he can do in your life. In Jesus' precious name, do what only you can do. Blessed be your name. Take your seat 1 minute and lift up your right hand.
You are beautiful beyond description. So marvelous for words. So wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Ooh. Like an art without, who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description.
Majesty. I stand in the heart.
Master, for this moment, we give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' precious name. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. I welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I'm speaking quickly this service, vision and destiny. This month is a month for the opening of the destiny of this ministry and of everyone that is connected. We're going to be understanding vision. And also, unraveling people of vision in Scripture. Then we shall understand vision and destiny. And then the place of the Holy Spirit and vision. Because it's a Holy Ghost service. Understanding vision. Unraveling people of vision in Scripture. Understanding the connection between vision and destiny. And understanding the place of the Holy Spirit and vision. The subject of vision is a very, very critical subject to the life and destiny of outstanding men and women in Scripture. The meaning of that is, without vision, most of the great people we see in Scripture would not have become anything. And we're going to look at two examples of people who had vision, and the vision ushered them into their destiny. Example number one, Abraham. In Genesis chapter 13 and in verse 14 all the way to verse 15 where we read, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. Lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. How was it possible for a man to stand in one place and span a whole nation? That is to literally look with your physical eyes from the north to the south, from the east to the west. From Maiduguri all the way to Lagos. From Sokoto all the way to Port Harcourt. How is that possible with the eyes? That was not with the physical eyes. It was with the eyes of vision. Literally, Abraham saw the place his generation would inherit almost 450 years. Before they stepped into that land. You can see the future by the power of vision. He literally saw the place his seed should be. Literally 450 years before they stepped there. So in the journey of vision, the most important thing is not where you are now, but where you can see. I will look at that very, very shortly. Abraham. Also, Abraham was battling with having children. At the age of 75, he was married without a child. Until he became 99, no child. Then God decided to expand his vision. In Genesis chapter 15 and in verse 5, God took him out and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. In other words, every time you begin to feel like you cannot have children, look at the stars. Will you be able to count them? If you cannot tell their number, that is how your children will be. So vision gives you pictures. I will look at that shortly. Come and step forth and look at it. I speak to someone here by prophetic decree. God is about to expand your vision. And where you are now is just the beginning of where you are going to be in life. In the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. And no devil can stop you from getting there. You believe that? Say it louder. Amen. That was Abraham. And still, when Abraham needed more of God's expansion of his vision, God changed his name. In Genesis chapter 17 and in verse 5, he said, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. I am moving you. Abraham means exalted father. Well, just father. Abraham means father of multitudes, father of nations. So every time somebody say, what is your name? And he said, I am the father of multitudes, it expanded his vision. What is your name? I am the father of nations. It exploded his imagination. You see, God decided to use both words and pictures to enlarge his mind. And it may look like mockery. People may attempt to mock him. You don't have one child and yet you say you are a father of multitudes. But yet he was able to withstand the mockery.
It doesn't matter if they mock you for as long as God will make you. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? Just hold on to God. The mockery is not as important as the making. And I am speaking to someone here. Maybe they are mocking you going to church right now. Or mocking one thing or the other you are professing. Or mocking your integrity or your character. Or your refusal to be like other people. But I am announcing to you this morning, by the prophetic and apostolic mantle with which I speak, very shortly, those mocking you will see your making by God. They will see your making by God. They will see your making by God. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Yes, I am exalted, Father. And in the journey of vision, just get ready to be mocked. Get ready to be ridiculed. When you say, this is what God wants me to do with my life. This is what I'm going to see in my lifetime. This is what is going to happen to me. Get ready to be mocked. Get ready to be ridiculed. Get ready to be castigated by people. But it doesn't matter what man says, for as long as what God says comes to pass. That was Abraham. If you leave Abraham, we go to David. David is our second example of the man of vision. When David confronted Goliath, he displayed vision. He displayed the power of vision. What do I mean? In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and in verse 45 to verse 51, Mahashoko Bagadagalagaya. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God. Now, for a better understanding, let's back up a bit to verse 43, maybe, where the Philistine was talking. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with staves, with stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, and that is one thing to learn from David, you don't allow the enemy to have the final say. When the devil has spoken, don't let him be the last person to speak. Be the last one to speak. Be the last one to determine. You see, and like we always said, you don't keep quiet when your destiny is being decided, especially in the negative. And David said, I am not going to keep quiet you talking to me like this. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I am not even coming to you with this catapult. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied this day. Will the Lord deliver you into my hand? He was determining the victory before it happened. He was seeing the outcome at the outset. That is vision. Place it there. And he said, I will smite you and take your head from you with catapult. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Every Goliath standing in front of you that came with you to church this morning, that Goliath shall collapse before you leave here. Every battle that is a battle that you came to church here this morning with, whether it's a health battle, a financial battle, a spiritual marital battle, it shall be terminated before you leave here this morning. You are a believer, shout the loudest amen. Now go ahead and see that. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Yet he said, I will cut off your head. Look at that. Now, go ahead. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took the man's own sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him with his own weapon and cut off his head therewith. Whatever the enemy is trying to use against you and use against us and use against our nation, God will organize it back against them. I see the weapons of the enemy turning against themselves. Is there somebody saying amen? Your amen will be louder than that. Say in the name of Jesus, the enemy's weapon shall finish the enemy. It says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone shall return back to him. This week, somebody will see the evidence of this declaration. Where what the devil planned against you is turned against that devil. Where the pit the devil dug for you, the devil inherits that pit. Shout the loudest, amen. Woo! Listen, when David was talking, there was no physical resources in his hand. In the realm of vision, you say it before you see it. In the realm of vision, you see it, say it, then you see it. In the you don't start with provision where vision is concerned. The vision is before the provision. You see it first, then it enters your hands later. Am I communicating? It is, you don't start. Many people have limited their lives and destinies. You don't plan according to what is in your hands. You plan according to what is in your heart. Did you hear what I just said? You don't make plans according to what you have in your hands. You make plans according to what you have in your heart. What you have in your heart is what will put what you need in your hands. What you have in your heart is what you will put what you need in your hand. And for some of us, what you need in your hand is still in the hands of the enemy. But it is when you begin to see it that you can begin to seize it. You see it first, then you seize it later. So David was not speaking because there was anything physical. He was speaking because that was in his heart. I am going to cut off your hair. I don't have a sword and I don't care where it is going to come from. But I know it and it's going to be done. When this sanctuary was going to be constructed, by the time we started the foundation and everything, I said, if they had told us the price from the beginning, maybe we wouldn't have started. If they had told us this is the real thing we are about to do. But we were in it. We saw it and entered it before we knew the full implication. That foundation alone can almost build an estate. Foundation. Pillars that enter the earth. Am I communicating at all? There are people here today. The enemy has tried to limit your life and limit your destiny and limit your resources by what is around you. But I am here anointed to declare to you, in a short while from now, something will be entering your hands that will amaze you, amaze your generation, amaze those who know you. You believe it, shout the loudest, amen. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat 1 minute. Having said all of that, what is vision about? Let's define vision in 2 ways. Number one, vision. And now we are talking about kingdom vision. We're talking about scriptural vision. Vision is man's insight into God's purpose for him or her. Man's insight into God's purpose. When you catch a glimpse of what God wants to do with your life, in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I have ordained you as a prophet unto the nations. Before you came forth, I knew you. Before I formed you, I knew you. So he was giving Jeremiah insight into his purpose for his existence. When you catch a glimpse of why you live, you just stepped into the realm of vision. Insight into God's purpose. What are you planning to do with my life? Where are you taking me to? Insight into God's purpose. Vision, secondly, is the mental picture of expected future. Mental picture of expected future. This is where I am expecting to be in the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. This is where I am expecting to be in life. Mental picture of expected future. In Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, the Bible said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart, your life literally issues from the heart. It is the mental picture of expected future. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, he said, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected future, an expected end. When the end you expect is a picture in your mind, it is called vision. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? When the end you expect, how you expect to end, you are not expecting to remain single. You are not expecting to remain barren. You are not expecting to be looking for money to eat or no. You are expecting to live in the fullness of God's purpose for your life. You are expecting to live in the fullness of supplies. For my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. You are expecting to be the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath. You are expecting to lend unto nations and never beg or borrow. Is God speaking to somebody here? You are expecting to be in health. For I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. When that picture of that expected end is blazoned on the canvas of your mind, it is called vision. Is God speaking to anybody here? Listen to this. And I want to say to you that in the name of Jesus, what the devil expects for you is not going to come to pass. What the wicked people of the world expect for you is not going to come to pass. What the agents of darkness expect for us in this nation will never come to pass. I decree, I announce, what Jehovah expects for you and for me, that shall come to pass. What the devil expects for your children will not come to pass. What the devil expects in your place of work is not going to come to pass. Say a louder amen. Mashata, take your seat. Mental picture of expected future. Now, what is the connection between vision and destiny? having defined that in two ways. I'm going to rush through because my time is literally racing. I'm going to make five statements, and number one, two, three, four, five, those statements all link vision and destiny. Number one, that the dream of today is the reality of tomorrow. The dream or vision of today is the reality of tomorrow. So you move from dream or vision to reality. It is first a dream or first a vision, then it becomes reality. In Genesis 37 and in verse 9 all the way to verse 10, we saw how Joseph dreamt dreams where he saw the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowing down for him. And that was a dream, 9 and 10. Years later, his 11 brothers came bowing down for him. Years later, in Genesis chapter 41 from verse 39 to verse 44, he became a commander in the land of Egypt, where the dream of yesterday became the reality of today. If it must be reality tomorrow, there must be the vision today. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? There are so many people waiting for things to happen by chance. It does not happen by chance like that. Whatever happens by chance disappears by chance. The vision, the dream of today is the reality of tomorrow. Number two, what you don't see coming will never come. If anything must come your way, you must see it coming. You must command it to come by the power of vision. If anything must come your way, you must see it coming. You must see it coming. You must see it coming. I've seen several things come my way. I am not surprised that I'm married in a marriage that is stressless, stress-free, prayer pointless. Oh Lord, help my wife. Let her be more submissive. Oh Lord, help us. Let there be no quarrel in this family. Nothing like that. Nothing like that for 27 years. If you see God asking. Why? I saw it for almost 7 years. I saw that marriage will not be a prayer point. I saw pictures of homes that the other day I was hearing Kenneth Copeland speaking. And he said that he has been married for about 60 years and they have not argued once. 59, 60 years. And there is no argument between him and his wife. And he said, you know why? Because it takes two people to argue. If one person is trying to argue and the other person refuses to argue, argument is over. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Do you understand what I'm saying? What you don't see coming never comes. David saw Goliath falling. He saw it ahead. He saw it. I just read it for you. He saw it ahead. Come to me, I will collapse you. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 to 51. We read it earlier. Come to me. He saw it coming. So when it happened, it was not an accident. It didn't happen accidentally. Anything you don't see coming never comes. You must see ministry happening successfully. You must see your marriage happening successfully. You must see your children grow up successfully. You must see the work of your hands happening successfully. If it must be successful. Somebody say a loud amen. Number three, life turns in the direction of vision. You can literally turn your life in the direction of your vision. In Proverbs 4:23, we read it earlier on. He said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Life turns in the direction of vision. In the direction of vision. You can, if you don't like the direction your life is facing, you can turn it by vision. You know, where the eyes face is where life moves. Show me where the man's eye is facing. You will never see anybody walking like this. Neither will you see anybody walking like this. Why? Because the eyes are not here. And the eyes are not here. The eyes are there. So he walks like this. If you want to change your life direction, change your vision. Am I communicating? Just change your vision. Change what you are seeing consistently. Change what you are focusing on. Change what you are focusing on. And life turns. Life turns in the direction of vision. It turns in the direction of vision. Number four, what does not cross your mind may never cross your life. What does not cross your mind may never cross your life. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20. If it must cross your life, it must cross your mind. It must cross your mind. If it must occur for you, it must occur to you. Am I communicating? Something must occur to you. It must occur to you that you are going to come to the point where you will literally feed your whole community. It must occur to you that you are going to come to the point where you will have a foundation that will wipe out tears from the faces of 100,000 orphans and widows. It must occur to you. It must occur to you that you matter to this generation. It must occur to you that you are not an accident of creation. It must occur to you that you are a missile with heading somewhere to explode. It must occur to you that you are not a non-entity. It must occur to you. It must occur to you that something massive must come out of your life for your generation. If it must occur for you, it must occur to you. I have always known in my heart that anywhere anybody can reach in life, any other person can reach there. I have always known in my life that nobody is inferior to another person. White, black, yellow, brown, green. I have always known. I have always known in my life that failure is not an option. Someone asked me, when you were starting ministry, what was your second plan if the ministry didn't work? I told him there was no second plan. Because it either it works or it works. It's either we are successful or we are successful. There was no plan B. No plan B. It's not possible. If plan B occurred, then plan B would have happened. If it occurred that it could fail, then failure was inevitable. Am I communicating at all? What does not occur to you cannot occur for you. On a consistent basis, deliberately let things cross your mind. Allow things to pass through your mind. Things that are beyond your own imagination, allow it to pass through your mind. I am speaking to someone here in the name that is above every name. Jesus the resurrected Lord. God is going to take you to a place that is beyond the imaginations of all those who knew you before now. If you are a believer here, shout the loudest amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. That was number what? Number five. The blank mind equals a blank future. In fact, the blank mind equals a bleak future. When a man's mind is blank, the future is bleak. It's both blank and bleak. It's both empty and uncertain. When we were in medical school, one of the young men, 2 years my senior in medical school, I was in 400, he was in 600 level. I said, brother, you're about to graduate. Where are you going to do your housemanship? It's not like today where you have to struggle for where to do housemanship. I mean, at that time you graduated and you can choose, can I be here, this teaching hospital, or here or there. Where will you do your housemanship? 600 level, about to graduate. You say, I'm not sure yet. I don't know yet. I've not made up my mind yet. This guy graduated and was on ground for 6 months, jobless, 20-something years or 30 years ago. Am I communicating? His mind was blank. So the future was totally blank. His mates were already 6 months gone into their practice and on the way. And if he delays the housemanship, he will delay the youth service also. You have to do the 1 year first. Do you understand? He says it's not sure yet. The mind of you see, for many people, their problem is not the devil. Their problem is the emptiness of heart, emptiness of mind. I told you the story before of someone I wanted to assist to give him some money to help him start a business or so. And what kind of thing do you want to do? And he doesn't know. Let me go and think about it. He doesn't know. You can't believe that. He got back to me 6 months or almost a year later with whatever he has. I gave him money. He held the money. He couldn't do anything with it. He returned it back. He has integrity in that regard. He didn't know what to do with the money. So today he returned it back after 6 months. Ay, 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 ay. It's God speaking to somebody here. Every spirit of confusion and emptiness of heart, today it is broken forever. If you are saying amen, you say it like a believer. It is broken forever in the name of Jesus. Genesis chapter 13 verse 14 to 15 was where we read, where God told Abraham, anything you can see, I give to you. If your mind is not empty, your future cannot be empty. If your mind is not empty, your destiny cannot be empty. The reason why we have so many young men today who are achieving nothing with their lives is because we have undergraduates who are just roaming about the campuses. No plan, no vision, nothing. Your man was up. Your man permanently swagging from side to side. Your man was up, man. Was up, man. Just adults playing like children. A blank mind is a blank future. And finally, this is very exciting. You cannot see tomorrow and be trapped in today. You cannot see tomorrow and be trapped in today. To see tomorrow is to reach tomorrow. Joseph was in the prison, but he kept on seeing himself at the palace. To the point where he put palace cloth in prison. In Genesis chapter 41 and in verse 14, when Pharaoh sent for him, he changed his raiment in the palace. You can't see tomorrow and be trapped in today. You can't see yourself in your husband's house, in your family house, and be trapped by singleness. You can't see yourself as a giver and be trapped as a beggar. You can't. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 concerning Jesus, the Bible said, For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. And now he's on the right hand, the throne of God. He was able to pass through the cross because of what he was seeing ahead of him. Whatever situation you are passing through that is a temptation situation, today I declare by the power of vision, you are crossing that level. You are crossing that level. You are crossing that level. Shout the loudest amen. Hallelujah. Finally, what is the role of the Holy Spirit and vision? And I'll round off. This is general for all the subjects. The Holy Spirit. Paul Yonggi-cho said, David Yonggi-cho, visions and dreams are the language of the Holy Spirit. That is, like some people speak Efik, and others speak Ibibio, and others speak Kalabari, and others speak Igbo, and Hausa, and Tiv, and Idoma, and Igbira. The Holy Ghost speaks vision. He speaks dreams. In the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 28, he said, in the last day, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see vision. That is when the Holy Ghost comes on you, visions will be natural. Dreams will be natural. Not just the vision you see when you are praying, but the visions of the future. The concepts and ideas of tomorrow. He places them, he deposits them in your heart. So two things we'll learn about the Holy Spirit's impact. Number one, the Holy Spirit releases visions and dreams into the hearts of the saints. He releases visions and dreams. So in this Holy Ghost service, we are expecting to receive dreams and visions and to blast off the spirit of confusion. He releases visions and dreams. Number two, the Holy Spirit empowers vision and translates it into reality. Empowers vision. That is, provided the vision is there that came by the Holy Ghost in the first place, power to make it become real is imparted by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20. It says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think. That is imagine, that is vision. According to what? The power, the Holy Ghost power that worketh in us. So it takes that vision, that imagination, that picture, and translates it into reality. People say it is impossible, but he said with God all things are possible. This Mary said, how can this thing be, seeing I know not a man? He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The Holy Ghost shall turn this vision into reality. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that holy thing, which shall be born of you, shall be called the Son of the Highest. There are people here today, God will, that are bigger than your size. Alright. Who is the person? Things, there are people here today, what God will do with your life will be heavier than what the whole community can do. Do through your life. There are people in our assembly, the volume of resources God shall place in your hands. If everybody in your community put their resources together, it is shadow compare. There are some that God will release some anointings. So heavy. You know, Elijah was equal to 1,000 prophets. As if God took the anointing of 1,000 people. God said, I have 1,000 prophets that have not prophesied. As if he took the anointing of those 1,000 dogs that could not bark and gave it to a lion that will roar. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Today, so they just begin to blast. Open your mouth and pray in the Spirit. Open your mouth and pray in the Spirit. Open your mouth and pray in the Spirit. Today is the day you've been waiting for. Open your mouth and pray in the Spirit. It is the day you've been waiting for. You are trusting the Lord to change your life and change your story. This is the day you've been waiting for. Today is that day. Open your mouth, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. It's a Holy Ghost service. Pray in the Spirit. Let us go to the Lord.
Holy Spirit, move me now. Make my life whole again. Spirit, move all over me, all over me.
Open your mouth and speak to God.
Spirit, move all over me, oh. Holy Spirit,
move me now.
Make my life born again. over me.
Lift your hands high. He's the spirit that releases vision. He is the spirit that takes vision and turns it into manifestation. Is there something you've been trusting God for? Something God said to you He will do in your life or do through your life, and you've been trusting Him for a very long time. Lord, when will this happen? When will this be? They said, because the power to make it be is about to come upon you. I see the spirit of confusion coming under arrest, and the spirit of directionlessness, hopelessness. You lost hope, despair, wanting to give up. Get set, because power is coming upon you. Someone here, the power to start again. The devil thought he has finished with you, but God said, I'm giving you power to start again. Power. And the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. That's right. It's already happening. Lift your hands high. Listen to this. I came back from a conference, the 40th anniversary. And for the past 20-something years of following my father in the Lord, Bishop David Oyedepo, something dropped on me in a dimension that has not happened for close to 30 years. Something. It is not possible not to know. I told my wife, I said, at a point in the service, I wanted to leave. To just go and internalize what just dropped. It was palpable, tangible fire, and I knew what it was. But it will appear somehow if I left the service. So I just remain. On the way to the church this morning, as I thought of what happened, I felt it afresh. That same thing is about to come on you. Those forces of hell that have not been able to stop me, stop us, stop my father in the Lord, and stop the move of God on the earth. Those forces that couldn't stop us, they are about to give way for you now. You are about to step into something that the devil can do nothing about. The limitations of your life, the limitations of your father's house, the limitations of your history, the limitations of your past are about to be broken right now. That's right. It's already happening somewhere. Lift up your hands right now. Father, I ask that something will drop on your children this morning. Out of the abundance of what you release, liquor in the past week, something will drop on your daughter, on your son, on your child, on your mahashedegida liar, tata tata. Yes, 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 yes. That unction that will break directionlessness and break confusion and impart vision and impart direction, impart faith and impart hope and impart destiny. I ask that it will drop right now. Lift your hands at the count of seven. You will place your hand and scream, I receive. Receive what? Receive an impartation of the Holy Ghost, an unction of the Holy Spirit that will change your life and turn your expectation into manifestation and turn your vision into reality and turn your desire into your resolve.
and expire the demons of delay, the demons of stagnation, the demons of backwardness. Lift your hands now at the count of seven. You scream, I receive, and something will drop upon you. Receive it, and something will drop. All our churches connected from around the world, receive the same thing that is released from this altar. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Are you ready? Get it. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And seven.
Something just happened to you. Lift your hands. Follow it up at home. After today's service, just follow it up at home. It's 1 hour, 2 hours, praying in tongues non-stop. Something just happened. That shame the enemy wants you to be a victim of just got drowned by the glory. I am anointed to announce to you, in the name of Jesus, no devil shall see your shame. The devil shall not see your shame. They will not see the shame of your family. They will not see the shame of your family.
Next Sunday, we'll take it from here.
You know the easiest way for God to answer your prayer? John chapter 15, verse 16. The cheapest way to have your prayers answered. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So that anything you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. Why don't you try God? He says, go out, bring fruit. Don't just invite them to church. Remain on them until they are planted. Follow their case. Follow them. Follow them to house fellowship. Follow them to foundation class. Be on their case until they are rooted. Then he said, prove me. Try me. Now, God is no respecter of persons. Whether you are a pastor, if you don't go to bear fruit so that your fruit can remain, you are just wearing coat for nothing. You might be an usher. You might be a counselor. You are the one counseling others. But you have never won a soul. You are singing in the choir. Thank God for the climate created. But if it pertains to me answering your prayers, go and bear forth fruit. Bring them in. Follow their case until they went through foundation class. You are monitoring them. Until they went through home church, you are monitoring them. They grew until they became committed to church and a departmental work or something. That your fruit will remain. Then prove me. Whatsoever. I don't struggle with answer to prayers. Because from my youthful days, my first convert, who was one to the Lord, 35 years ago, is a missionary. Alright? That is my own fruit. It's now multiplying fruit. I have many who are pastors. So the chain is going on. I don't need to struggle. Prayer is not a prayer point. When I was about to come from Lagos yesterday, there were three people who were trying to offer their aircraft. I want to send from, can I send now? I said, no, hold on, let me find out. Three people. One said, mine is on the ground in Lagos, can you? Another one said, don't follow that one. The bigger one is coming. Yes. He said, don't follow that one. Don't follow that one. That one is a 9-seater. I'm bringing a 13-seater. Am I communicating? That is ahead of our own arriving plenty. Don't struggle. Don't struggle. Don't just play church. Don't just be psychedelic executive Christian. I want you to catch fire. Hit the road. Hit the street. You don't even need to go far. There is a classmate of yours that you give an invitation to. A neighbor in your neighborhood. A colleague in the office. If it is answer to prayer, you want me to answer you. Say, you will come to the point where before you call, I will answer. And while you are yet speaking, I will hear you. From this coming Sunday, every single Sunday till the year is over, don't come to church alone. Every time you remember church, remember that there is somebody on the street that must come with you. We'll bring the bills and flyers and everything meant for that before the midweek service. There are sinners in town with the capacity of overflowing the glory dome 5-6 times every Sunday, true or false. And we're going to do our work. Get ready because something is about to happen. Some of you, your husband, your wife, situation will be handled by your aggressive evangelism work. Some your business matter comes to an end by that aggressive work. Are you going to do that? Don't wait. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. Don't keep on waiting for things to change. Change them by force. Change them by action. Change them by commitment. Change them by dedication. Change them by aggressiveness. Don't let the devil waste your life and waste your time. Change is coming. You believe that? Say loud, amen. But for somebody here today, every shame the devil wants you to see, that shame is returned back to the head of the devil. Every shame the devil wants you to see, that shame is returned back to the head of the devil. If you see that, shout the loudest amen. If you see that, shout the loudest amen. If you see that, shout the loudest amen. If you do what you are meant to do, you don't need to see the senior pastor before your story changes. It didn't say, try and see the pastor and your prayer will be answered. No. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask. Then he said, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you, that you should go. Hit the street. Put the devil under pressure. Snatch people from his hands. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, prove me if I will not do it. You say, I have done evangelism before. Go and do it. Do it until you see the answer. Do it until you see the answer. And that answer is coming right now. Is anybody here this morning? Lift up your hands and give the Lord the praise for what you have received. Meanwhile, very, very quickly, before this week is out, you will hear a testimony that will blow your mind. A mind-blowing testimony. A long-standing expectation has just been met. At the same time that somebody's ulcer has been healed, and somebody's right ear has been healed, and somebody's lower waist condition has been healed, at that same time, somebody's frozen bank account, whether it's in the spirit or in the physical, I can't tell, but I see an account that is frozen. I see it open right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I see somebody's resources tied down, released right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Abayatoke Sakina Malaya. I see somebody who is experiencing a lot of losses. From now forward, no more loss. Lift up your right hand everywhere you are. As you came in here this morning, something happened to you. A healing took place. A deliverance took place. Something left you. God touched you in one of the ways I mentioned just now. The ear, the waist, the chest, and so on. Quickly step forward and let us see what happened. Give the Lord a clap as you take your seat.
Lord, you are so good. Blessed be your name. Jehovah, you are good. Blessed be your name.
In heaven you are the Lord.
If you are coming, come very fast.
On earth to reign forever. Oh Lord, how great thou art. Blessed be.
Blessed be your name.
Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are so good.
Blessed be.
Blessed be your name.
You are good, you are good, you are good, you are good.
Lord, you are so good.
Blessed be.
Blessed be your name.
In heaven,
you are the Lord.
On earth.
Lady here, that the devil arrested your reproductive system, seized your menstrual flow, and you are not pregnant. And now the sign of return is here. That's right. Seize your cycle. Not even have a child yet. But the devil has been put to shame, and that there is the sign of return. If you confirm it, don't be shy. You know the sign. The sign of return of that cycle. If you confirm it, you step forward here. And I take authority over every spell of barrenness, of fruitlessness, every spell of lack of reproduction. Today, it is over forever. Yes, quickly.
Amazing. Ulcer, 9 years. She came in with the pain. Few minutes before the ward, she said she was already dizzy because of the pain. Instantly, as the ward came, sir, every pain disappeared.
Give the Lord the praise. What about her?
Also, 5 years and the same waist condition, the pain disappeared.
Incredible.
Right in
give the Lord the praise. What about her?
Another also pain, sir, disappeared right in
the give the Lord the praise. Little hands. Power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Ghost. I declare your freedom, your liberty in Jesus' name.
Sir, Emmanuel, sir.
Yes.
For 5 years, pie. with excruciating pain.
Pile of five tears disappeared. Somebody give the Lord a shout of victory. Power
of the Holy Ghost.
Whatever is not of God. Waste affliction for how long?
Say it's been long. He cannot even remember.
He can't remember. And now bend down. Bend down. Touch your toe. Bend down.
Stand up. Bend.
Give the Lord a praise. What happened to you? You can't remember when it started and now it's gone. Bend down, touch your toes. Give the Lord a praise. Where's the affliction? You can't remember when it started. Lift your hands.
Awesome.
Power of the Holy Ghost.
What happened to you? Ulcer. Awesome. Pain gone.
Ulcer gone. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus. All right. Safety. In Jesus' name. Hold her well. Well, please. Somebody who is fully loaded must not fall down anyhow. Congratulations. It is over in Jesus' precious name. Somebody lift up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, every enemy deposit in my life, you are going now. Who is the person with the hip condition on the right and then the knee on the left? Knee on the left. For how long?
Sir, amazing here. No child for 15 years. Menstrual flow stopped. Now as the word was coming, she began to feel cramps. She wants to run to the ladies because she feels it in her.
Are you just sitting and looking like that? No child for 15 years. Menstrual cycle ceased. And now the signs are returning upon her right now. I take authority over everything the devil sees in your life. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Everything the devil sees in your life, I declare return and restoration now. Return and restoration now. Return and restoration now. Return and restoration. Stand up on your feet and say, let me say in the name of Jesus, everything arrested in my life, you are returning now in Jesus' name.
Start menstrual cycles ceased for 5 years, 4 years, and some months. Restore right on
incredible.
The
stand on your feet, everybody. Say after me, say in the name of Jesus, everything stolen from my life by the devil, your tenure expires. I command your return now. Power of the Holy Ghost. In the name that is above every name, Jesus the resurrected Lord. Restoration in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat. Just very, very, really quickly. You are here this morning and you need to hand over your life to Jesus. Quickly stand up on your feet and rush to the front here. I think the ushers outside can hold on those coming in for the second service now so that they can come in at once. You need to give your life to Jesus. You want your sins forgiven. Anywhere you are, pick your Bibles and pick your bags very, very quickly and rush to the front here. You have not given your life to Jesus yet. You want to be born again. You heard the message and you know you need Jesus in your life. Quickly, quickly rush to the front. I'll give you the count of 7-1.
Give him your life. Oh, give him your life. Hey, give him your life.
It's waiting.
It's waiting for you.
Would you give him your life?
Give him your life.
Would you give him your life?
Oh, give him your life.
Would you give him your life?
Give him your life. It's waiting for you.
Would you give him your life?
Give him your life.
Would you give him your life?
Give him your life.
Would you give him your life?
Everyone
in the front right here, place your right hand on your chest and say after me. All right, keep coming, keep coming. While I'm expecting them for the sake of time, please stretch your two hands in front of you, everyone. I prophesy upon your hands and I declare that your harvest will look for you from the north, south, east, and west. What is yours, no devil shall take away. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Pick up your offerings and tithes and pledges. I'm sure the ushers outside heard me. No use to direct people inside when the service is already closing. Lift up your offerings, Father. Multiply harvest back to every giver, and then the hands lifted never drop to beg. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. While we quickly drop our offerings, those in the front here, place your right hand on your chest and say after me. Remove your mask from the face so you can speak, reply what I'm saying. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken and the grace to live for God is released upon you. I call it down in Jesus' precious name. God bless you all.